Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
He has to vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Amanda Duberman.
And the Betches Sup Podcast is your daily rundown of all the crazy shit going on in the news, brought to you by your two funniest friends,
which is us.
Hooray. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I feel like the craziest shit was not as humorous as it usually is this week.
Yeah, I just felt tired this week. Like when I think it was yesterday's tired. Newsletter when I was writing it, I was just like, this is madness. I'm sick. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of every day being like this.
After we got off, Brian and I with Asher Wangappa yesterday, Brian just went, he was like, that broke me. Because she was just like explaining how like, no, we actually need to impeach Bill Barr right now. Like, it's pretty fucking bad. It's real bad. We're just like, oh no.
Like, oh, right.
Oh no.
I know. I mean, again, it's like the norms have just been so eroded, which obviously we'll talk a lot about that today. But it's, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. But I was telling you this week, amid all that, I noticed so many listeners, so many of you guys just sent in really kind messages out of the blue, just saying that you're enjoying having the podcast every day and just congratulating us for getting certain guests. And I really needed that this week. It was really nice. Like we had AOC share that Instagram last week. So that brings like a wave of new people and some of whom don't agree with what we agree with and like to tell me in a really unkind ways. So it was really good timing that this week a lot of you just decided to reach out. And that's really nice. And we really do appreciate it. And it really does make a difference.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
I'm really, really glad. Nice. And, you know, I guess just piggybacking off of that, I feel like people should just send nice messages to Amanda. So
that sounds great.
If you ever feel compelled to do so, I would suggest sending a nice message to Amanda because she runs the Sup Instagram account and that can be a place.
It's a place. Pretty nice.
It can be a place for the free exchange of ideas.
That is 100%. It's absolutely that, for better and for worse. Very free exchange of ideas. I start charging for people to share their ideas with me.
Please Venmo Amanda if you want to share your ideas with her.
All right. So let's touch on, okay, so we talked about this with Asha a little bit yesterday, and by now you know that the president suggested delaying the election. Yay, no problem. Your latest foray into fascism. Also, at least the newsletter this week was so funny.
Thank you.
It's never not funny, but so many people were just messaging me this week like, Jesus Christ, this newsletter is so good.
It was so, it's bad, but sometimes I feel like when I'm in the deepest well of despair, I'm just like, fuck it.
The bit about Bill Clinton in today's, it really changed my morning. It was so funny. You guys have to read it.
So sign up for the Betches Sup newsletter, guys.
Yeah. So the Constitution actually empowers Congress to change the date of the election. And if no president has been elected by Inauguration Day, basically the next, I assume most recently elected person in the line of succession inherits the office, which after Mike Pence is Nancy Pelosi, because the VP gets elected with the president. Although, I mean, presumably if Trump wants to delay the election, he wants to delay all of them. Although actually, I'm sure he just wants to delay the presidential one. He's like, they can run. They can have theirs. I just don't want to move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, I just don't think he's considered even for one second what it means. And I'm not even convinced that he knows other people have elections this year.
That's true.
I don't think that that's something that's in the fore. He's like, no, it's the presidential election. It's the one with me.
Right, 100%. Yeah. So Either way, it's not happening. Mitch McConnell and other GOP senators yesterday, they came out and shot down the suggestion. That on top of Obama coming for him harder than he ever has, Trump had a day yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, I wonder if he can even register having a day.
No.
At this point. I don't
not
even, like, what does that look like for him mentally to have a day?
Yeah. Everything just goes in his brain and then just like computes into his weird narcissistic perception, and then he just rages. But Trump later tweeted that while he objects to mail-in voting, absentee voting is fine. These are the same thing, virtually.
I did see that, and I was like, even for him, I'm like, don't you know this is... But of course he doesn't.
No.
He doesn't know anything, Amanda.
He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know. So like in some states, absentee, it's like you apply because maybe you're not living there right then. Or like a lot of times you have to apply. A lot of times you have to have an excuse. But a lot those excuses in a lot of states have been eliminated amid the pandemic. Where mail-in voting like refers... It's the same thing, but it's just like some states already do universal mail-in voting. There's no application. It's just assumed you're going to do that. And obviously in the background of all of this, like he's not supporting the post office. He like appointed some political appointee to run it and the post office is going to fail.
Right. And that's the thing about this is like, I don't think he's going to delay the election or even really attempt in any meaningful way to delay the election. But I think that this whole thing and what scares me is it belies his goal of disrupting the election, of making the administration of the election as difficult as humanly possible by, like, you know, a competent president who cared about the election would be putting a lot of money into the post office right now. They'd be making sure that the post office is running the best it's ever run so that we can get these ballots sorted and all of this stuff. Instead, he's tanking the post office and then previewing his future attack, which is he's like, it's going to take months to count these ballots, all this stuff. It's like, it doesn't have to be like that. You're making it like that.
Yeah, I saw a post that was like, even though there's not really a Halloween this year, like everybody's kids should dress up as like mail carriers because then you can buy stuff from the post office to support them. We're like, so that's the stage of this dystopia we've reached where we're buying post office merch.
Yes, and like, these Republicans who came out against him, yeah, I don't think they would support a move as obvious as delaying the election, but I don't have any faith that they wouldn't back him on voter fraud allegations after the election or whatever other route he's trying to go. You know, they just won't go as far as delaying the election because they know that that is like, I mean, that's a pretty big move to do, but I don't have really any faith that they would not back other attempts by him after the election to not accept the results. So
yeah, all you have to do is plant the seed like he did again, which is that like it's rife for fraud for like foreign interference. They don't even check your ID. And that's not true, but all he has to do is tweet it and then there's going to be reports day of people are going to make up stories about seeing undocumented people that you just, I guess, can tell are undocumented dropping off trash bags of ballots. And people are going to be like, well, Trump did say that that might happen. So that's what's happening.
Exactly. And this whole thing, like, whether Trump has a real coherent plan that he's doing to try to, you know, nullify the results of the election, or whether it's just his normal strategy, which is to just say shit that comes into his head. I feel like he is stirring a pot that cannot be unstirred by doing this. And that once he puts it out to his minions, like the election's a fraud, then even if Joe Biden gets elected, we get him out of office, Joe Biden is inaugurated, the peaceful transference of power occurs, we're still going to have this contingency that believes the election was a fraud, and like the division that creates in an already divided society scares me.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I realize that like, no matter what, even if he does, I trust that he will leave the office by January if he's not elected. But you're right. There's going to be years long of like a good amount of the population still insisting and DMing us.
Yeah.
that's not what happened, that Trump lost. Absolutely.
Exactly. And it's like, we keep talking about like, oh, what if Trump contests the election? It's like, babe, he already has.
Yeah.
He's what already if? Did. He already did it. It's contested now. So we are already living in the reality where one of the people has like called the election fraudulent.
Right.
So that's this week. All right. Yesterday, President Trump also happened to tweet. He sent out this tweet right after the worst economic report ever came out. Yesterday.
That's the economic term, worst ever.
Yes. Look it up. Yesterday, the Commerce Department announced that the GDP shrank at an annual rate of 32.9% in the second quarter. The overall economy in the second quarter was 9.5% smaller than during the same period last year. This basically ends 5 years of huge economic growth that began under President Obama. Thanks, Obama. And new jobless claims rose for a second straight week with 1.43 million workers filing for initial unemployment benefits. This report comes as there are basically no signs that the U.S. economy can open anywhere near full capacity anytime soon, you know, because we didn't do anything.
Right. I still can't believe we're here.
I know. I know. It's insane.
And they're still just like, let's just wait. Let's just wait and do nothing.
Speaking of doing nothing, tonight at midnight, enhanced unemployment benefits expire for millions of people, and Congress has no plan for how to continue them. Actually, the Senate has adjourned for the weekend. They are taking a 3-day weekend, which has begun today. So that, I didn't realize we were eligible for a 3-day weekend. This, I didn't know. What is the purpose?
What is that? What's the holiday?
They can't finish till 5 on Friday, really? They're at home. They're working from home the same as us. They're not even...
They're going to Disney World.
This is... I mean, when I read that, I was so...
That's the link I accidentally got pasted in the newsletter. Because I read that too, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then I clicked on it, and then it's just in the newsletter now. You guys will see.
Well, you know, that's a fun...
Think of it as
a Taylor Swift Easter egg. What is exactly. it? So the $600 unemployment enhancement benefits that Congress passed end today for most people,
That's a lot of people.
Rent is due tomorrow. A federal moratorium on evictions lasted until last Friday. So now people can be evicted again. Unemployment benefits are expiring today and rent is due tomorrow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's disgusting.
I know. That leaves more than 12 million renters at risk for homelessness. Great. During a pandemic that people aren't going to, will be out and about, no home, nowhere to live. Mm-hmm. Or have to move into multi-generational homes, which have actually been linked to like people who live in multi-generational homes, which is also an issue with like Black and Latino people are more likely to be in homes with different generations living under the same roof. They have been infected at a way higher rate for the pandemic. So these people are going to be evicted, and then they're going to have to go move back in with mom and grandma, and then the whole family gets COVID is what happens there. And the Paycheck Protection Program, which still has $130 billion intended to help small businesses, is set to expire on August 8th.
And I've been reading that a lot of this money, especially the funding for like states and localities, it hasn't even been spent yet. Like a majority has not been spent. States and localities are literally like sitting on millions and millions of dollars because the restrictions on how they can spend it are very, very narrow and strict. And like nobody wants to have to give this money back because they're like, we're fucked. We have nothing. If we spend this money the wrong way and then you audit us, it's over for us. It's over. And so there's so much money that's not getting spent. And I know it's like part of negotiations that it's like, do we give them more money now or do we just free up the money? And it's like, how about both? Tell them what they can use it on and give them more.
I really feel like we're at a throw the kitchen sink at the problem scenario at this point. Like, it's just crazy to me And I'll never get over it. And I'll never stop being angry that every other country has shown us exactly what needs to be done.
Right.
It is working there. The curves are going down. They are able to reopen. The cast members of Love Island are on vacation. It's in my feed. They're having a great time. They're safe and happy. And I and we, all of us, are here in this mess.
It's unreal. It's unbelievable. It's like, let's even just follow the like the medium worst. Even if we just do what they do, we'll be better than what we're doing now.
It's so crazy, but it's the most, it's also the most American thing in the world to be like, okay, so the rest of the world has come up with a system. What if we take that system, we make it right. not make mathematical sense. We actually make it really hard. We make right. it cost a lot of money. We make it like impossible to use. We make it racist kind of right. for no reason. Like,
right. Other countries are just like, we're going to pay you what you were paid until everything is safe.
Yeah. And other countries are worked. Like, we're going to use the metric system. It's based on intervals of 10. And we're like, 12.
Right. 12 inches is a foot. Oh, God. We make it so hard to follow a recipe.
It's based on a man's foot, you see. And that's why we call it a foot.
Oh, it's shocking. It's shocking. And I mean, oh, God. I mean, and then you think about, it's just like, you think about if Joe Biden were president. Like, Trump has not spoken to Nancy Pelosi in months. How are we not talking about that all the time? He's literally not part of this. He's not in the room where it's happening. That's the whole point of wanting to have that job. What did he do last night? What did he do last night? Apparently Nancy Pelosi, Mark Meadows, who's his chief of staff, and Chuck Schumer, they all met at the White House all night, came to no deals. What was he doing? What's he doing?
Nothing. Nothing. And it's like, even if, you know, you're not in love with Joe Biden or don't think yeah. of him as like the pinnacle of like competent leadership or whatever, you know that the people he's going to surround himself with will also be working on this problem 24/7. And it's not going to be a random group of acting directors because he forgot to even put anyone in the role in the first place, or right. like the bottom of the barrel people who would even agree to work with you. You know, it's going to be like competent right. people in their field, and he's going to be actually listening to them, and he's not going to get mad when one of them is more popular than him.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just the difference in what our leadership situation will be when we get a new president, Joe Biden, into the White House cannot be understated. And anyone yeah. who tries to dance around and pretend like there's no difference between them is full of it. Full of it.
Right.
And they're lying on purpose. They have a different agenda because they know that that shit's not true. They know it's not true.
Absolutely. I mean, I've read from his campaign that like they're getting ready to get in there and fix this. Like, they see that as their responsibility. Obviously he's campaigned, but they can only do that so much. And it's like, he's bringing in the people that helped fix things in 2008. There were a lot of ways that response wasn't perfect, I'm sure. But like, all right, bring them back. I wanted to move forward too, but right, just bring them back. Bring them back at in. Least,
yeah. Right? It's like, at least we'll have people who are working on this in good faith, in power, and who don't have an agenda that's not, we should fix the pandemic because people are dying and there's a pandemic and it's our job to do it. It's not some guy who's like, everybody's mean to me. Why is everybody being so mean to me? This is such a bad thing for me. Like, it's unbelievable.
Oh, God. And then this morning, a lot of the tension seems to be, based on what I was reading from this meeting last night, is that like the White House is actually, what they want to do is extend the $600 just as like a standalone thing, like right now as an emergency. Like, they're like, okay, we can't just take this away from people, especially after this report that the economy's like never been worse. But they want to like pause everything else. And then I think they'll feel like they have leverage after that. And we'll be like, oh, well, you get Democrats, you got the 600. So like, what are you doing? Why can't you just move forward? It seems like what the White House is rejecting too is like a lot of the stuff actually related to the virus. Like, we need more testing. 70,000 people have died since the HEROES Act passed. That's half of all the people that have died. Like, this isn't ending anytime soon.
No, and the testing situation, it's actually gotten worse. Because when I got tested the first time at CityMD, it took me 4 days to get my test results back. I just got tested again because, you know, I left to visit my family. So I got tested again. And I was told it's going to take 2 weeks. So what's the point of that for me to know?
What's the point?
What's like, okay, I didn't have COVID 2 weeks ago. That's nice.
Right.
Great information.
Right. But they can test basketball and baseball players every day. And for baseball players, it's not even working. They're still getting it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I was reading this morning too. There's a new shortage and like they're doing thousands of tests a day on basketball players. We don't need sports yet. Take the sports away again. I'm sorry.
I know. Listen, you said it, Amanda, and that's on your DMs. And
I know. I know.
But I agree. I mean, it's madness the way that we are trying to act like we can have it all.
Right.
This country is really trying to act like we can have it all and that we cannot shut down and we can have our sports games and we can still go out. And it is at the expense of now 150,000 lives. It's insane.
Yeah. But this morning, some coronavirus experts and doctors, including Dr. Fauci, testified before some House members. And the big headline from this morning, it's still going on, is, of course, Rep. Jim Jordan, no jacket Jim, just bullying Dr. Fauci, specifically to ban protests. Have you seen this clip? I'll play it.
Avoid crowds of any type, no matter where you are, because that leads to the acquisition and transmission. And I don't judge one crowd versus another crowd. When you're in a crowd, particularly if you're not wearing a mask, that induces the spread.
It's a simple question, doctor. Should we limit the protests? Government is obviously limiting people going to church. And look, there's been no violence that I can see at church. I haven't seen people during a church service go out and harm police officers or burn buildings. But we know that. I mean, for 63 days, 9 weeks, it's been happening in Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one night in Chicago, 49 officers were injured, but no limit to protests. But boy, you can't go to church on Sunday.
What was this?
I don't know how many times I can answer that. I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm just going to tell you.
You've opined on a lot of things, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, but I've never.
This is something that directly impacts the spread of the virus, and I'm asking your position on the protests.
Yeah, I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm telling you what it is, the danger. And you can make your own conclusion about that. You should stay away from crowds, no matter where the crowds are.
It makes me so mad to hear someone being rude to Fauci.
So rude.
And
so
Fauci rude. Can hold his own. And I love hearing his like angry Fauci voice and whatever.
Right.
But I'm just like, how fucking dare you, no jacket Jim,
talk to
Fauci this way?
And it's almost like Sean and I were talking about this before this. It's like you actually get the point. He's approaching a point, Jim Jordan, which is that like, is there why are some things banned and not others? But the point is that like, you can't ban people from gathering outside.
Yeah.
Number one, to protest. Like, that's not Dr. Fauci's call.
There is
a difference. Of course there's a difference. And you can tell that Fauci wants to like say that. He's like, because I'm not like an authoritarian like accessory, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like Fauci is not a lawmaker. Fauci is not a policymaker. Fauci is a scientist who is telling you science. And if you actually listened to what he was saying, he was actually saying something that supports your point, which is he was like, you shouldn't gather outside in crowds.
Exactly. Right.
So if he would let Fauci talk, then Jim Jordan could go on and wax poetic about his weird point about why you can't go to church versus be in a protest. And the answer is that you're inside, but fine, whatever.
Because you know, Fauci didn't want to be on TV saying, yeah, I guess protests are in that category, because that would have been, Trump would have tweeted that immediately. Every Republican who was against these protests would have tweeted that immediately. Of course, he doesn't want to be on record saying that.
No, of course not. And it's not his job to be. His job is to tell us science. The science is it is dangerous to be in a crowd. If you're in a crowd, you should have your mask on, all of that stuff. Like, it's more dangerous to be in a crowd inside.
Right.
So, whatever.
Like the Republican, like as James Clyburn responded to Jim Jordan after that, saying, basically referencing all these Republican fundraisers we're seeing, especially in like Kansas, that are just no masks, indoors, shaking hands, all of it.
Right, exactly. It's like I went to the protests and every single person had a mask on.
Every single person.
And these people.
Not exaggerating. Every single person.
And people were mindful, even though you're in crowds, people weren't touching each other. You know, they weren't like, people were also getting tested as a result of going, because these, the people who are gathering in the protests are people who are mindful about the virus.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Speaking of gathering inside and the repercussions of that, sorry, that's very dark, but yesterday, former presidential candidate for the GOP, Herman Cain, died of coronavirus after a weeks-long battle. He was a businessman, one-time candidate. You probably remember him. He was like the he was like the flashy candidate. Was that 2012?
I think so.
It was 2012. Okay, he was like the flashy candidate in 2012. There was a video of him where he quoted Pokemon. The last time we had seen him publicly was incidentally at Trump's rally in Tulsa, which famously there was no social distancing. There's a photo of Cain indoors sitting down inside at the rally, not wearing a mask. I believe he tested positive for COVID like 2 weeks after that. And just a day before his death, Cain's Twitter account was posting messages alleging that the virus is overblown. So
that's so dark.
It's really dark, and it's like, you know, part of me is just going to try to sit here and be like, well, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
But
this morning, Maxine Waters was saying things.
You know what? Yeah. And I'll leave it to Maxine to say the things. She's going to say better things than I could. And she's a great sayer of things. But, I mean, Turning Point USA, which is that like youth conservative group, they just had a similar situation where they've been saying stuff about how they don't want to wear masks and the virus is overblown. And then one of their co-founders died of COVID.
So, that's unbelievable. Oh my God.
I mean, it's happening because a virus doesn't actually care about your political agenda.
Right.
And you can get it no matter what. You can get it if you think it's a hoax. You can get it if you don't think it's a hoax.
Right. It doesn't matter if you think that it's your right not to wear a mask. That doesn't mean you opted out of getting the virus because you won't wear a mask. Even though Louis Gohmert thinks that's how you get the virus.
I can't even talk about Louis Gohmert.
Never.
It's ridiculous. Devastating.
Also,
it's
yesterday,
ridiculous.
We learned the first dog was reported to maybe have died of coronavirus. Buddy, a 7-year-old German Shepherd from Staten Island was the first dog to test positive for the virus. He died on July 11th. So, okay, Buddy had cancer. So, you know, it's unclear whether the virus killed him. His owner had contracted it, and that's how they think he got it. Or the cancer did, or the cancer made him more susceptible to worse illness. And when I saw this story, if Morty dies of coronavirus, someone is getting assassinated. I will John Wick. I will be like, I'll be Joanne Wick, and something is going to happen to somebody. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I remember Amanda's kidding. Don't
totally
DM
kidding.
Her.
Don't DM me. don't call the cops.
I remember because a cat and a tiger have gotten coronavirus, and I immediately was like, if I gave my fucking cat COVID and she died, I don't know
how it'd go on.
I literally, it would be It would be lights out for me.
More good news, though.
Okay. Finally, our final story. We're put on your tinfoil hat. We're taking a trip to Little St. James. Hundreds of pages of court documents involving British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell, longtime associate of Jeffrey Epstein, who has been accused of enabling the late financier's sexual abuse of underage girls, were unsealed on Thursday night following a months-long court battle over the documents. So the documents are from a now settled lawsuit that was filed in 2015 against Maxwell by Virginia Roberts. Virginia Roberts Jeffrey. Jeffrey had sued Maxwell in the past for calling her a liar when Jeffrey had, you know, come forward with allegations that she had been trafficked by Maxwell and Epstein to high-powered people, which is basically the crux of her whole thing. Virginia Roberts Jeffrey is also the woman in the photo with Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
So this is all related to the Prince Andrew thing as well. Yeah. Jeffrey basically accused Maxwell of acting as Epstein's madam, the cronk to his Yzma, if you will. That's the Emperor's New Groove reference. And he basically helped him traffic women, including Jeffrey, to influential men around the world. This includes, as we said, Prince Andrew, former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, and attorney Alan Dershowitz. Dershowitz he's not only Prince Andrew's attorney, but he's also Jeffrey Epstein's attorney and was part of organizing that sweetheart deal for Epstein in Miami, the like very, very famous deal that Alex Acosta lost his job over.
And Dershowitz was Trump's impeachment lawyer.
Right. Yes. And Dershowitz appeared in a very famous interview segment on the show that I do voices for called Tuning Out the News. Yes. And he sounded completely insane. You should definitely watch that. So Jeffrey claims that Maxwell recruited her when she was just 16 years old. And according to the new documents, I mean, the new documents are actually crazy. They basically say that, you know, Little St. James, there was like orgies happening on Little St. James constantly, according to her. She said that her best estimate was that the women on the island ranged from ages 15 to 21. She says that she saw Maxwell herself engaging in sexual relations with underage girls. The documents suggest that Maxwell helped Epstein groom over 100 girls, which makes sense when you watch like the Epstein documentary and you see how they would create like recruitment networks, kind of like they'd recruit you and then you could kind of get promoted to recruiter yourself. It was basically run like an MLM.
I actually just started the documentary. I haven't watched it just because last year when he got arrested, I like really just, I felt like I read everything.
Yeah.
All of Julie Brown's pieces. I felt like I just had, like I knew everything. But when I started watching again and just seeing all of the interviews and like having it come to life, it's so disturbing and weird. And I recommend it even if you think you know everything there is to know about this. Not that I thought that, but.
Yes, but. Okay, so the documents suggest that Epstein and Maxwell groomed over 100 girls. And then in this document dump, which took place today, there's a little tidbit that's making big waves on Twitter in which Jeffrey claims that former President Bill Clinton was a guest on Epstein's private Little St. James Island. And that the allegation actually is that she saw him with two girls on the island. And then she also says that she traveled on the plane with like Al Gore and similar people like that. So big names being dropped. I mean,
they're so creepy. There's also that story about like Ghislaine asking like a professional songwriter to like write a personalized birthday song about Epstein, and just included like a lot of gross references about like schoolgirls and like 24-hour erections. And the guy was like, you know, usually when I write these, like I talk to like a dozen of people's friends. Like I want to really, and she was like, no, you're just going to go through me. And it was just like their pervy little love song.
This is, I mean, this story just gets crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by any of it, but yeah, I mean, I wonder how much more will come out.
Right. I'm sure there's lots more that can. She apparently, she is still detained, but she tried to get released into like house arrest to a luxury Manhattan hotel. And they said, nope.
First time that's ever happened for a powerful person.
Exactly. But at least the president wishes her well.
And with that, and don't we all, and I think that does bring us to the end of the pod. Until the end of democracy, or I'm sorry, I forgot that we changed our tag.
It's until whatever we feel like.
The tag
whatever
is
you
wherever.
Feel into that day.
Until the return of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Amanda Duberman.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Amanda Duberman. Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to sup@betches.com.
Betches.